Being a student at Brigham Young University was a privilege for me. BYU became a place where I learned to seek learning, even by study and also by faith. Whenever I drive through the entrance of BYU's campus, I'm reminded by the signs which say, "Enter to learn and go forth to serve," that what I learned and experienced here prepared me well to support my family and to contribute to the church and community everywhere I went. I also remember that I enjoyed listening to incredible speakers at Tuesday devotionals more than 30 years ago. Considering the respect I felt for those who spoke and the inspiration I received, I never imagined I would stand in the middle of the Marriott Center to give an address to so many students and faculty. I feel very humbled by the assignment to address you today. I hope the insights and learnings I share with you might help you in some way. In addition to receiving a first-class education here, one signature learning of mine at BYU was gaining an unwavering conviction of the Book of Mormon. The Book of Mormon has become my compass to help me navigate through the ups and downs of my life. President Russell M. Nelson reminds us that the truth of the Book of Mormon have the power to heal, comfort, restore, succor, strengthen, console, and cheer our souls. I too felt the power of the Book of Mormon throughout my life. I can honestly say, with my head high, I did enter BYU to learn, that the Book of Mormon continues to support me to go forth to serve with that power in the world. Today, I want to share several examples of how the Book of Mormon is an inspired text for life that will help us to liken the scriptures to ourselves, come to know Christ, and acquire Christ-like attributes, particularly charity. Examples are readily found in the journey of Nephi's family. Their experiences in leaving Jerusalem and traveling to our land of promise can serve us as your life's compass. Furthermore, having seen a vision of Christ and his ministry, Nephi sought to develop the Christ-like character of charity through relying on God amid his trials. You can recognize God's dealing with Nephi's family as his way of refining them to become like him. I truly agree with Joseph Smith as he introduced the Book of Mormon being the most correct book on earth. You can become nearer to God by abiding by its precepts than any other book. Perhaps my learning from Nephi's journey may have been attributed to repetitious reading of the first book of Nephi after struggling to read Isaiah chapters in the second book of Nephi. Nevertheless, I have profited, learned so much from likening Nephi's journey unto my life again and again. Nephi's accounts led me to experience a change of heart, receiving the image of God in my countenance. Sometimes you might find it difficult to relate to Nephi's journey in the wilderness with all our modern-day comforts, such as air conditioners, exercise shoes, automobiles. Even with these mismatches in comparing Nephi's days to ours, you can truly appreciate the enduring power of the Word of God. Furthermore, as you search diligently, you'll feel the power of the Holy Ghost and recognize the principle Nephi shared with us are time-tested and true, no matter where or when you live. Permit me to share several episodes from Nephi's journey that help me know that the Book of Mormon is another testament of Jesus Christ and which illustrate how we can develop Christ-like attributes. Have you ever thought what leaving Jerusalem means to you? What is your Jerusalem? What would you need to leave behind? After Lehi saw in his vision a pillar of fire, read from the book of prophecy, it was made known to him about the destruction of Jerusalem. Despite his effort to warn the people he cared about, many of their hearts were so hardened that they persecuted him. Lehi was then commanded to take his family and leave Jerusalem. Lehi obeyed the word of the Lord, departed into the wilderness, leave both his house and inheritance. As I think about Lehi's circumstances, I'm able to connect his experience to my own opportunity when I first received the restored gospel of Jesus Christ by being baptized and began understanding that I was a child of God and I can become like God. I was only 15 years old when I began learning the gospel from missionaries. To commit to be baptized and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, I felt I would have to discontinue some of the traditions and practices which are deeply rooted in Buddhism and Shintoism. To my family, joining a church and becoming a follower of Jesus Christ seemed so foreign. They must have thought I was simply a rebellious teenage boy. Instead, I hoped that living the gospel of Jesus Christ might help me honor my father and mother better, honor my father and mother better, that they might appreciate the truth I found eventually. This was a confusing situation for a young boy, but I was so comforted by the words of Jesus Christ, and I found much joy and peace by adhering to his message. What gave me courage were the words of Jesus when he said, "Everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life." For me, following the Savior by being baptized became my application of leaving my own Jerusalem and becoming a new creature in Christ. Even though my parents did not like the choice I made at that time, over time, they supported my decision to follow the Savior. More than 30 years later, my mother chose to follow the Savior by being baptized and became a member of the church. Serving a full-time mission became another instance in which I left my own Jerusalem. Yes, the picture you see was taken when I was a young missionary in Salt Lake City with my Japanese companion. I was assigned to serve in Temple Square at that time. We used to have some handsome elders on Temple Square. The photo was the official image used for Sunday school for many years. It bothered me when my friends and acquaintances outside the church thought I had gone completely crazy. Yet, I committed to depart from the natural man through the atonement of Jesus Christ. I sought to become like Nephi, to remain faithful in obeying God's commandments, even when his older brothers thought that he was a fool or lacked judgment. How about finding your own promised land? What does it teach us about obedience to God's commandments? Despite his brother's rebellion, young Nephi had a great desire to know of the mysteries of God. He did cry unto the Lord. As a result, God did visit him and soften his heart. The Lord did bless Nephi with the knowledge of a promised land, one which is choice above all other lands. He was told that he would be led to that land and prosper if he would keep the commandments of God. The Lord prepared it for Nephi and blessed him because of his lowliness of his heart. The blessings of the promised land will be given as an inheritance to his faithful followers and their descendants. While I was a student at BYU, I often pondered about my own promised land, where I would establish my life after completing my education, and a place where I might be blessed both spiritually, temporally, someday. Those who inherit the promised land repeatedly demonstrated the challenges of remaining obedient. The Lord remembered his promise to bless Nephi. After arriving in the land of promise, Nephi and his followers lived after the manner of happiness. Throughout the Book of Mormon, you find those who kept the covenants with God were blessed to retain the Spirit of God and peace without contentions. They were fully converted unto Jesus Christ. They had all things in common without rich and poor, bond and free. They experienced all manner of miracles because many disciples ministered to the people in the manner that Jesus taught them. What does Nephi teach us about coming to know Christ? In his dream and vision, Nephi saw a tree whose fruit was desirable to make one happy. He partook of it and lifted his soul with exceedingly great joy. And he desired to share it with his children. As he shared the fruit with Nephi, he gladly received it. He rejoiced in the truth with his father. We know the fruit he partook of was most desirable and represented the love of God or charity in the form of the tree of life. Nephi desired to behold the things which his father saw. When asked by the Spirit if he believed the vision which he talked about, Nephi said, I believe all the words of my father, though he did not understand the full meaning of his dream. The spirit asked him, Knowest thou the condescension of God? And Nephi replied by saying, I know that he loveth his children. Nevertheless, I do not know the meaning of all things. Nephi was learning the most important knowledge of all. From his reply, you can sense his spiritual commitment to God to hold nothing back. Nephi was learning the attributes of charity, believeth all things. You can have faith and peace of mind that one day there will be answers to all your questions, even if you may not understand them now. The Spirit continued to speak to Nephi. He was then privileged to behold the Virgin, bearing a child in her arms, and beheld the Lamb of God, the Son of the Eternal Father, even Jesus Christ. After seeing the Lamb of God, Nephi was able to associate the tree of life with the love of God. He said, It is the most desirable above all things. Unfortunately, Laman and Lemuel did not show much interest in what their father saw. However, Lehi did not give up hope for his children. The book of Nephi captures Lehi's unwavering hope for his children as Nephi observed his father did exhort them with all the feeling of a tender parent to follow God. Later, Nephi, having observed his father, teaches older brethren, also did exhort them to give heed unto the word of the Lord with all the energies of his soul and with all the faculty which he possessed. Nephi gave his best effort to persuade his brothers to believe in Christ. Nephi later shared his testimony of the atonement of Christ, testifying that it is by grace we are saved after all we can do. It's not our achievements that save us, but Christ's grace and acceptance of our effort, or the scriptures put it, the heart and the willing mind. Having gained a witness of Christ and his mission for himself, we see how Nephi gained Christ-like attributes through his trials and tribulations. In his journey towards the promised land, Nephi saw the Savior and felt his love. He received the constant guidance of the Spirit, refined his life, and eventually developed Christ-like attributes. One important attribute Christ possessed is charity, or the pure love of Christ. Mormon described charity as follows. Charity suffereth long and is kind, and envieth not, and is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. The Apostle Paul also taught the same principle of charity. His teachings can give us a bold perspective. He said, Though I have all faith so that I could move mountains and have no charity, I am nothing. Mormon further reminds us to cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all. As we read of what Nephi learned, we see that he cleave unto charity. He never let go of what he gained spiritually, and he remained true to the faith which his father Lehi cherished. The remaining Book of Mormon episodes that I will share illustrate how, with firm testimony of Christ, we can be refined and filled with charity despite life's uncertainties. A true test of charity, or the pure love of Christ, is trusting God's love enough to move forward. Sometimes without knowledge, believing without leaning on our own desire and understanding. After leaving Jerusalem, Lehi was commanded that his son should return to Jerusalem to obtain the brass plates. Have you ever wondered why the Lord did not command Lehi to obtain the brass plates from Laban before he and his family left Jerusalem? It might have spared the extra pain and headache, heartache of the entire family. Nevertheless, Nephi's family learned that the critical elements of charity, being long-suffering, seeking the will of the Lord rather than their own, and bearing all things they received along the way. When Nephi brought the plates to his father, Lehi learned that the brass plates contained the records of prophets from the beginning and the genealogy of their fathers. This critical task, to obtain the brass plates was given to the children, not the parents. They were asked to do a hard thing by risking their own lives. While the brothers murmured, Nephi was full of faith when he said, I will go and do. He has trusted that the Lord would prepare a way for them to achieve this important work. His father rejoiced when Nephi expressed his willingness to follow the Lord. However, they were not able to obtain a record in their first two attempts. Laban first threatened Laman's life, and then he lost after Lehi's inheritance, including gold and silver and all manner of precious things. He thrust them out, sending his servants to kill them. And Nephi and his brothers fled, hid themselves in the cavity of a rock. As you know, Nephi did not give up. He found a way to obtain the plates, as he was led by the Spirit, not knowing beforehand the things he should do. Though it was not easy, Nephi received much strength from the Lord to achieve what was required of him. Nephi learned to bear and endure all sorts of challenges. He learned to seek the will of the Lord instead of his own. While Nephi and his brothers were absent, Sariah, as a mother, worried about her children and their safety. Lehi did his best to comfort Sariah, saying, "The Lord will deliver their sons, and they will return." Lehi remained steadfast and kept his faith. Both Sariah and Lehi bore their respective challenges until the Lord brought back their sons, having accomplished what the Lord commanded them. Through this long suffering, both Sariah and Lehi gained further witness. After the trial of their faith, Sariah gained her own conviction that the Lord truly commanded Lehi to send her son to Jerusalem, and the Lord protected them. Lehi further gained the witness it was truly a commandment of the Lord to send his children to obtain the place, as he found that the records were desirable and of great worth to his family and the posterity as they traveled in the wilderness. Here's a good word for likening the scriptures to our own challenging circumstances, a wilderness. A wilderness can have different connotation for everyone. What do you see in your wilderness? Some might think about a desert in Utah with hot and dry weather and a never-ending sagebrush, while others might think of islands surrounded by ocean. What seems common is that a wilderness is a lonely place. Moroni described that the wilderness as a place where no man had been. When struggling alone, we might suffer with a myopic view, as President Russell M. Nelson has described. You might say, I'm the only person with the problem. No one understands and cares about me. When you experience this sort of feeling, you might be in your personal wilderness. The Lord, for example, commanded the brother Jared to go forth into the wilderness, not just go into the wilderness, encouraging him to approach his problem courageously and with purpose. Amulek taught that the one must pour out one's soul in the wilderness, teaching us to always remember God, no matter how lonely you might feel. Please pay attention to the positive words of Nephi when he and his family waded through much affliction in the wilderness. He said, "So great were the blessings of the Lord upon us, that while we did live upon raw meat, our women did give plenty of suck for their children and were strong, and they began to bear their journeyings without murmuring." As an aside, I must say that the raw meat, but especially raw fish, sound good to me. I don't think anyone in Nephi's family had the ability to prepare raw fish, sashimi, or sushi in those days. Back to Nephi and his family. The ability to bear their wilderness journey without murmuring is a great example of overcoming pride by being a disciple who is not puffed up, thinketh no evil, and envieth not. When you receive all things with gratefulness, as Nephi did, you can truly understand the will of God, even in your trials, and believe that all things will be made glorious. As they sojourned for the space of many years in the wilderness, the Lord nourished Nephi and his family spiritually, because they kept the commandments of God. Then they came to a land near the seashore, which Nephi called it bountiful because of its much fruit and wild honey. As Nephi and his family pitched their tents, the voice of the Lord came to Nephi, telling him to rise and go into the mountain to cry unto the Lord. Have you established a place where God might speak to you? Have you established a place where you can communicate with God? Many of you would say, that's the temple. Or you may have your own sacred place in your apartment to pray. In the mountain where Nephi prayed, the Lord commanded Nephi to construct a ship so that he and his family could get to the land of promise. Nephi did not work the timbers after the manner which was learned by man. Instead, he did build according to the instruction of the Lord. Nephi was not commanded to go into the mount only one time. Instead, he went oft, prayed oft unto the Lord. The Lord showed Nephi great things. May I remind you that your experience here at BYU are preparing you to go forth to serve? You are blessed with many opportunities to see God's direction and prepare your own unique ship built through study and by faith. Amid trials and opposition, while you're traveling in your wilderness and crossing your own ocean, you might feel ready to make an excuse or to crumble. Nephi did not succumb to opposition, even when his brothers would not support him and bound him with cords. Nephi continued in his love for them. He did frankly forgive them all that they had done. Remember to pray to God. He remained faithful to God and was filled with the Holy Ghost. While in the ship crossing the sea, Nephi was bound by his brothers again. He endured their opposition without murmuring. Instead, he praised unto God all the day long. Through his trials, Nephi learned to yield to the enticing of the Holy Spirit and relied on the atonement of Christ. From leaving Jerusalem till he arrives in the land of promise, Nephi endured all things or trials, learned to become kind, gained the attributes of not easily provoked. He completely trusted that the Lord would lead him to the promised land. In reviewing these episodes from Nephi's journey, did you notice how much Nephi gained the attribute of charity? As you read and apply Nephi's experiences of learning of and becoming like Jesus Christ, I hope you will feel the great power and the wisdom of the Book of Mormon. Today, I only reviewed these several episodes briefly to illustrate the relationship between Nephi's journey and his knowledge of Christ and his development of Christ-like attribute of charity. I hope you can find your own verses from the first book of Nephi, which relates to the Savior's matchless love for us, and appreciate the depth of scriptures. I invite you to liken the scriptures and become even as Nephi of old, who journeyed from Jerusalem in the wilderness. He was truly guided by the Lord and was taught from on high. The blessings associated with the trials in our lives and to become closer to the Lord and to develop the characteristics of charity, even the pure love of Christ. Brothers and sisters, I invite you to do as Mormon admonished us, to pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart that you may be filled with this love. I hope and pray you can learn from Nephi and other prophets in the Book of Mormon who did reach out to God through humble prayer. I hope your time at BYU will become even more meaningful as you recognize that you are building your own ship to be able to sail through the trials and challenges to come in your life. May I remind you of your divine identity and potential as spirit children of God. By living the precepts in the Book of Mormon, you learn of and become like the Savior Jesus Christ. I bear you my witness of the Heavenly Father and Savior's love for us. Heavenly Father hears and answers your prayers. He sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Through his matchless love for you, his infinite atonement will enable you to become like him and Heavenly Father. When the Savior comes again, we shall see him as he is. May we be purified, even as he's pure, in the sacred name of Jesus Christ. Amen.